Children's group tonight. Wednesday night children's group. Team kids. Sorry. Okay. Team kids. All right. Go get your team on. It's like a baby doll convention to me. What do I know? Amen. What do I know? What do I know? Not much. All right. Y'all don't forget to lock the door over there. Lock of the door. You okay? Is it locked? Should be.
It's locked.
Yeah. That door is locked. All right. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Are y'all ready?
Amen.
Amen. Good Wednesday night crowd, boy. Tell you what, for the, that's good. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. That's good for the, the heat of the summer. Of course, it was kind of cool today, wasn't it? Praise the Lord for that. Working on Sunday morning's message, the balance of the day, and that rain started falling. I was like, is that rain? Like, they didn't say, I mean, they said it was could rain, but they didn't say it was going to rain. And I got out, got up, and it's raining. No, I didn't stand out in it, but the dogs wanted in, so I let the dogs in. When it got finished, it was a good rain at my house. I don't know what you got, but it was a good rain at my place. And I just walked out in that cool, wet grass and thought, man, this is what 85 degrees feels like, right? Because it's been what? Yeah, it's been 95. It's been 98. It's been 100. It's in no blaring sun today. Oh, it was nice. Overcast skies. Great, great, great. Well, praise the Lord for the rain. Thank you for those that have prayed for rain. And you know, around here, you got to balance that out because we get too much rain sometimes. Amen. But we'll take a little more rain. I think we'll take a little more. Let's take our Bibles and turn to John's Gospel tonight. We're going to start in John, and then we're going to end up in Galatians. Galatians chapter 6 is where we're going to end, but we're going to read from the Scriptures as we stand out of John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34, and we'll read 34 and 35 this evening. John chapter 13, John's Gospel, chapter 13, and we're going to read here verses 34 and 35. Now, we are a little behind on our communion schedule. We should have had communion the middle of this month, and we missed that. So we'll be having communion on August the 14th. It'll be in the bulletin, the P.M. service, Sunday, August the 14th, P.M. service. So mark that down. Be in prayer for that service. The Lord's Supper, observance of the Lord's Supper, August the 14th, P.M. service. All right, John chapter 13, beginning in verse 34. If you found that, say amen.
Amen.
The Word of God reads this. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That's a pretty tough commandment, isn't it? As He's loved us? Wow. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can be about your business tonight. We can be in the midst of your word. We can sing praises to your name, take up an offering, Lord, to further your kingdom and your church. And Lord, now as we come to the portion of the service where we study your Bible, we study your holy and inerrant word, we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity. Pray you speak to each and every heart here tonight, Lord. Certainly there's an outline and a message, Lord, but we pray that you would take the truth and apply it to each heart as your Holy Spirit sees fit. May we receive it. May we not fight it. Lord, may we enjoy the washing of the Word over us tonight. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said?
Amen.
All right. Thank you all for standing. You may be seated. Praise God for His Word tonight. We're looking at the word people. P-E-O-P-L-E, right? People. That's right. And we've been taking each letter of that word people, and we've been talking about using that word people as an acrostic. You know, instead of going this way, we've been going this way with it. And then P stands for, and E stands for, and O stands for. Well, P stands for what? What does that stand for? Purposefully praying. That is correct. And E stands for embracing the impossible. All right. That's correct. O stands for offering hope. Yeah, there you go. And then that second P stands for practicing holiness, right? And when we talk about practicing holiness, our vision of Him, our vision of God, and our time with God is what leads us to pursue holiness. We just don't get up one day and say, you know, I'm going to pursue holiness. If we've not made the spiritual things important in our lives, if we've not made church attendance and worship, if we've not made getting into God's Word, if we've not made praying to Him, if we've not done those basic things, practicing holiness is going to be off here. It's going to be way out of our view. Not even going to be in focus for us, right? So our vision of Him and our time with Him is what leads us to pursue this holiness. So the question we asked, and we'll just ask it here, get us thinking about it a little bit more. How do I define the holiness of God? The holiness of God is that He is not tainted, touched. He has no evil, vile in Him. He is holy, set apart, perfect God. Amen? Amen? So when we think about the holiness of God, P stands for practicing holiness. Man, we're going to have to spend some time with Him if we're going to try to be like Him, right? We're going to have to be in His Word if we're going to live the Word, right? So how can I improve my time with God? Well, if you don't have a time with God, you need to have a time with God. If you have a time with God, how good a time is it? Can you improve on it, right? Am I pursuing, and then lastly, we asked as we ended that Bible study several weeks ago, am I pursuing the holy things of God? His Word is holy, right? His gospel is holy. His church is holy. Now, we're sinners, saved by grace, still struggling with sin, but one day this old bride is going to be cleaned up. A holy bride, amen? Set apart and given to the Son one day, right? Am I pursuing the holy things of God? P stands for practicing holiness. O stands for offering hope. Hope is Jesus Christ. The church has been given the challenge to offer hope to this world. As the bride of Christ, we have the responsibility to share the hope found only in Christ. And a great church does what? Is a church that offers hope, right? That's what it does. E stands for embracing the impossible. A church with a passion for the cause of Christ will be a people willing to embrace the impossible. And we keep going on along down the road together as pastor and church. We'll get to some places where it looks impossible. And we'll have to do what? We'll have to put our old heads together and embrace that, right? Because that's what a great church does. I mean, and you're a great church. So P stands for purposefully praying. When we began this series, we said we should pray with a fervor. We should pray with an unction about us. We stated that the church is to be a house of prayer based on Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 12 through 13, when we talked about praying the house. I mean, we're a house of prayer, so let's pray the house. Let's pray the foundation. Let's pray the walls, the roof, the windows, and the furnishings. And we went all through that. You can get that Bible study, I believe, from Brother Jeremiah. He's probably got a master copy of that somewhere back there. As we begin this evening, P-E-O-P-L, here we are, L, what in the world does the L stand for? Well, if you picked up at all on John 13, verses 34 through 35, L stands for loving unconditionally. Now, the loving part we get, but when you put that unconditionally on there, that's where we're going to have some trouble. That is where we're going to have some problems. Jesus gave His disciples a command, not a suggestion, but a command. He wanted them to understand the significance of love. Our love for one another serves as a statement to the world. The church that practices love in today's culture sends this statement that Jesus is real. I went to my doctor's office on Monday and had to be there at 8:30. And, or was it Tuesday? Was it Tuesday still? It was Tuesday. I went to my doctor's office on Tuesday and had to be there at 8:30. And I walked in and it was one of those physical things, you know, So no food, just straight up black coffee, and so and some water, and a few pills that they allow you to take. And so I walk in, and I'm all happy-go-lucky. I sign in, and I'm ready to go. And they go, "Are you Mr. so-and-so?" I can't even remember the name. I said, "No, I'm Mr. Lee." And they kind of looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. And I said, am I here the wrong date?" And she said, "Hold on, let me see if I can find you." And so she's looking at her schedule, and she's like, "I don't find you anywhere on the schedule." And I go, "Well, I called about 6 weeks ago to confirm the appointment." And I go, "I wrote it on my calendar, you know, next to my coffee pot." I go by that coffee pot a lot because I drink a lot of coffee. I mean, I know where I wrote it and what I wrote it and who I talked to. And so they said, "No, Mr. Lee, we don't have you for today at 8:30. We have you for August the 8th at 10 a.m. And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, I haven't had anything to eat, so can I go ahead and get my blood work?" So you would think that's a 10-minute thing. You would think. Well, I don't know what was going on with the computers or the lady taking the blood was new. I don't know, but she was struggling. And the people working at the front desk were looking at me, and I was looking. I really wasn't upset. You know, I figure if I can get this blood work done come August the 8th, I won't have to starve again. I mean, I was trying to make a positive out of it. Amen? Praise the Lord for the opportunity to get the blood work. And I don't like having blood taken. But so I'm there. And she has to get on customer service. I don't know if she had never done one of these before where the patient gets the blood work before he sees the doctor. I don't know. But it was a struggle. And it took about 50 minutes to get it. But you know, when I was done, I gave that gal a hug. Amen? Why? Because she needed one, right? And she was gentle, right? That counts for a lot. Man, if you're taking my blood and you're gentle, you can drag that thing out to an hour and a half. Amen? Just be gentle. And she didn't make fun of me when I turned away, right? Because I don't like seeing that blood come out of my arm anymore, right? I don't like it. So she got a hug. Love unconditionally. And guess what? She wasn't white. No. She wasn't like me. But she got a hug, right? Loving unconditionally. That's where we got to get. Now, she was saved because I asked her. She did attend church because I asked her. I had plenty of time to talk to her about the Lord. Amen? She got a hug. Love, L stands for loving unconditionally. I want to talk to you about becoming and maintaining a church of love, because we can say we're going to be a church of love, but being a church of love is hard work, maintaining that church of love. Well, how do we maintain it? How do we become it? Where does it all begin? Well, number one, we must love God. I mean, we genuinely have got to love our Heavenly Father. Not like Him, I mean loving. See, we find our motivation to love Him when we come to grips with the incredible forgiveness given by Jesus. When we look at the balance of our lives and we think about where we should be heading and we think about where we should spend an eternity, and then we look at the gospel or we think about God's word and we think about how we've been forgiven of all of that and we've got a new home, a new destination, isn't that motivation enough to get on the love train? Now, I know they're calling it the Trump train, but we're calling it the love train tonight. Amen? The love train, right? Isn't that enough to get on that train? See, as we understand this forgiveness, we are better able to understand the love of God. I don't think we ultimately all the way get it here, but I think when we get on the other side and we get out of time and get into eternity and we see Jesus as He is, I think we come to grips with it. I think we're getting close here, but we don't get it all here, right? Understanding the love of God that He has for us. As God's love is made complete in us, we're able to then love one another with this same love. To the ultimate point, no, but with the same kind of love. Amen? A sacrificing, a sacrificial, an unconditional love that he has for us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." 1 John 4, 11. Verse 12 says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." Amen? Amen? That's good news, great news right there. We must love God. A church of love is sincere and transparent. A church of love. They are folks who love with a purpose, and they are a group that loves deeply. I don't know how you have this. In really, really big churches, I don't know how you get there. I know how we do it here, but there's a certain limit to it as the church grows. Newsflash, if you've never picked up on it, I'm not seeking to pastor just a huge church. You say, why would you not want to preach in front of a group of 1,000 or 1,200 or even 500? Why would you not want to do that? Could you do that? Yeah, I've been on staff at large churches. I've preached in front of large crowds and all of those things. But there's just something about a congregation of about 300 on down. They get up to about 300 and they transition after that into something that I'm just not real comfortable with. It's still a church. And there's staff that have to be brought on and a lot of logistics, and I tell you what, it tended to make me, when I was on staff at larger churches, it tended to make me more of a businessman than a minister of the gospel, than a pastor. Those churches have their place, and those men of God are called to those places, and that's good, great things. But I'm talking tonight about how we keep it simple, about how we love, amen, deeply and with a purpose. And I know these larger churches have small groups and have Bible studies, and so they break down into really smaller churches under just one big roof. But we're one church, amen? And we ought to love with a purpose and love what? Love deeply, amen? Are we feeling that? See, we must strive to move past the superficial pleasantries. We've got to get past that. We've got to get past the pleasantries that our words convey, and we got to get to loving deeply as expressed by our actions. See, our actions, our feet and our hands, that puts what? Well, that puts the proof behind it. You can say it all you want. But when somebody needs you, well, that's when you have to respond, man. I got a call from Ann last night, and she wanted to talk a little bit about Miss Margie, and she left a message and said, you know, you can call me back this evening or call me back tomorrow. It was about 9:30. I had a sneaking suspicion she's a night owl. So I called her up. Sure enough, she was up. I said, "Well, Pastor, you didn't have to call me back till tomorrow." I said, "Well, Ann, you needed me tonight. You got me tonight." Right? I mean, that's the way we respond. We don't put each other off. We try to respond when somebody needs us. Not just me, but you. You respond. Amen? Got to get past the superficial pleasantries and get to loving deeply as expressed by our actions. Love is our transformation in salvation displayed. It is our transformation in salvation on display. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Fervently. That's strong, man. So, on becoming and maintaining a church of love, we must love God. But this is the difficult part. The difficult part. We must love difficult people. Now, difficult people we have to love. Have you ever encountered someone difficult to love? Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know if you have, right? Is everybody here? Have you ever encountered someone difficult to love? Our Lord instructed us to love only people like us. No, that ain't it. Our Lord instructed us to love only people that thought like us. That ain't it either. Our Lord instructed us to love one another, period. Right? One another, period. He did not say to love only the lovely. Have you ever come across those folks that were unlovable? But you still have to love them. Right? You still got to love them. His purpose in this directive actually is for us to love all folks, everyone, conclusively, right? Whether we perceive a personality problem or a sin problem, we are to love each one. Now, that doesn't mean we become the doormat. That doesn't mean that we give them the keys to the kingdom, right? But we still love them, right? Even if we have to confront them, even if we have to bring discipline to them, even if we have to remove them, we still love them. Make sense? Well, that's what we got to get. Well, how do we love unconditionally? How do we love difficult people? Let's look at Galatians. I told you we would end up here. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. I'll give you a second to turn there as I get a little drink here. Out of my $10 Yeti cup that ain't a Yeti. I got it at Walmart and saved 20 bucks. All right. Ron's got one. Have you seen Ron's? Ron Wade, he got his powder coated. It's a pretty blue. Yeah, pretty blue. Dark blue. It looks like a New Hope blue. Maybe we could get some cups. Where did Sis go? Sis? We'll get some cups, man. Sell those at the... Tomball night. That's right. Yeah, get them powder coated and put the hornet thing on there. How to love unconditionally. Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Did you get there? Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Look at verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, right? Principles for loving people in difficult situations. Number one, unconditional love is a result of spiritual maturity. You're not going to decide tomorrow and say, man, that preacher's right. Man, I'm going to love me some folks unconditionally. I'm going to love me some unlovable folks, and I'm going to love me some folks that are just plain out there, man. That ain't going to happen for you unless you're working to be discipled in the Word of God. I'm telling you, if the rough edges of you are not knocked off daily with the Word of God in prayer and corporate worship, I mean, if you're not tweaked on and torqued on and worked over by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, you will be in no mindset or frame of mind to love folks unconditionally. I'm telling you, you're not going to get there. You're going to be grumpy. You're going to be hateful. You're going to be short. You're going to be snippy. Is that a word, snippy? Something like that. People aren't going to know you're a Christian, right? You got to have some spiritual maturity. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore him. Spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth is the beginning place of love. As we grow in our faith, we grow in our love. So what is the criteria for helping wayward believers get back on the right road? The restorer must be a Christian who displays the fruit of the Spirit in his life. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, King James meekness, temperance. You know what I'm saying. Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. Unconditional love is a result of spiritual maturity. Secondly, unconditional love is expressed with gentleness and humility. Fallen Christians are not to be slapped around. They are to be confronted. They are to be approached. They're not to be slapped around. They're not to be humiliated. They're not to be reviled. Fallen Christians are not even to be ignored. Right? Those things, humiliating, reviling, ignoring, slapping, that's the approach of the flesh. That's what pride or inferiority would have us do, but we're not that. No, we're saved, blood bought, headed for the day of redemption. We operate differently than that. Amen? We operate Galatians 6, 1 and 2. That's what we do. Our attitude should be, but for the grace of God, there go I. That's right. But for the grace of God, there go I. Unconditional love requires extreme focus on the goal. Everybody say goal. Yeah, G-O-A-L, goal. So like in soccer, that's a 1 point. In football, that's a 6 points. No, or is it a 1 point and a 3 point? They call it touchdown, right? They don't have goal. In hockey, there we go, goal. I'm getting there. Got to just go through my sports here, right? In hockey, there's a goal, right? And it's 1 point, right? Get it in there? Soccer, it's 1 point. I guess it's just those kind of sports where you got a goal. But the goal is, what's the goal? Where do we score? We score when that person is restored. When they're restored. When they're restored back to the church. When they're restored back to a right relationship. What's the goal? Restoration. Unconditional love requires extreme focus on the goal. What is the goal? It's restoration. See? We don't want to put ourselves in temptation's way, right? No, we don't want to do that. See, here's the great request for God. Lord, if there is an opportunity, please don't let there be a temptation. Look at here. What does it say here in Galatians 6, 1 and 2? It says, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be what? Tempted, right? Be careful. Don't get tripped up. Remember the goal. What's the goal? Restoration. Principles for loving people in difficult situations. Principles for loving difficult people. Principles for loving sometimes people that don't want to be loved. Unconditional love is a result of spiritual maturity. Unconditional love is expressed with gentleness and humility. Unconditional love requires extreme focus on the goal, which is restoration. That's right. Unconditional love means walking with people in difficulty. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of who? Law of who? Everybody together, the law of Christ. That's right. Sometimes people need another to help carry them. By walking with someone in the valley, you follow the command of Christ to love one another. So, why is the process of becoming a loving church so difficult? Well, Pastor, because people are difficult. That is right. The process of becoming a loving church involves human beings. Human beings are difficult animals. We are what? We're not Pavlov's dog. We're not Aunt Susie's cat. I mean, we human beings, right? We are complicated. We're fragile. We're creatures. We bear the image of God in us. And therefore, we deserve to be treated with what? With some dignity, with some respect. Right? Amen? We're not perfect models of righteousness. We all fight with the flesh. That's what we've got to remember. We all fight with the flesh. We all experience temporary defeats. All of us, we all experience that. We all need to be helped up and not held down at times in our lives when we're nursing our wounds. See, the purpose of the process is to mend, it's to restore, it's not to cripple. Not to cripple. There's enough pain when someone we know is trapped by sin. We do not need fellow Christians to enter into our lives and inflict more pain than we're already suffering. Amen? But you see the difficulty in all this? You see the balance in all this? You see that you got to pray through this? You got to seek to do it? It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to actually put feet to it. You can take this one to the bank. It is easy to love people like us But it's more difficult to love people unlike us. So difficult. We may not understand their problems. We may not get their personalities. But our mandate is to love unconditionally. Amen? So a great church does just that. And so the question is, are you willing to do that? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We thank you, Lord, that we can study tonight and loving unconditionally as we come almost to the close of this acrostic on people that make a great church. Lord, I pray that you would remind us often that we've been blessed beyond measure. We've been purchased by your blood. We have been taken out of harm's way and put on a path of righteousness and salvation. That we have a great destiny ahead of us. We have a great purpose for the here and now. Lord, so often it's easy to get high-minded about who we think we are. It's easy to look down on others and think of ourselves as super spiritual or a half step better than someone else. Lord, may we resist those thoughts and desires in our hearts. May we see people the way you see people. And that's lost or saved. Lord, help us love all the people. Lord, not that we want to lay down and be a doormat for people to drag their feet all over us or allow dangerous things to come into the church or people that are actively in sin to have great responsibility in the congregation. That's not what we're saying, Lord, but we're saying those that are down and out, struggling, those that are hurting, certainly those that are stuck in sin need to be confronted with the sin and prayed for and helped. Lord, we want to do it with such grace. We want to do it with such humility and tenderness. Except for the grace of God, go we the same direction. We can all end up in a gutter of sin. If it wasn't for you, wasn't for your word, if it wasn't for a loving church, wasn't for people around us that cared for us, we could be in the same spot a lot of people are in today. Lord, help us be those ministers. Help us be those caregivers. Lord, help us not enable folks, but help us love folks. Pray for them. Hold them accountable. Lord, may you get the glory. May you get the praise and the worship for people growing past sin issues and growing past hang-ups and growing past that snare that so easily entraps them. Use us in the process, Lord. Thank you for tonight. Be with us as we get into our prayer time. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right. Praises tonight.